The National Storytelling Conference will be held July 23rd through 27th at the Hilton Hotel in Mesa. I'm joined today by Liz Warren, director of the South Mountain Community College Storytelling Institute. Liz, it seems the local storytelling scene has grown a lot in the last few years. Has it grown, and is this a trend that is happening nationally?
It really has grown in Phoenix, Jane. And due in large, I think there's been a range of factors that have caused our community to grow so strong. First of all, we have a really strong core of local storytellers who have been at it for 10, 15, 20 years. So they provided a foundation of expertise. And then you add on in the early 2000s, we had the Mesa Storytelling Festival that went on for 7 years. And that introduced a lot of people to storytelling. And then, of course, we have the Storytelling Institute at South Mountain Community College, which will soon be celebrating its 20th anniversary. And we've educated literally hundreds of people in the art of storytelling. And that, of course, raises the community understanding of storytelling. And then when you top that off with the commitment that the Arizona Republic has made to both capturing the stories of Arizonans as part of their centennial project, and then in hosting 48 public storytelling events over the last 3 years. That has just been the cherry on top of the sundae in terms of helping our overall community understand what live, in-person, face-to-face storytelling is. So yeah, in Phoenix, we're very, very fortunate to have a very, very strong community of storytellers. I don't know if it's really as strong in other communities around the country. Certainly there are communities that have as strong a storytelling presence. That's really been helped nationally by organizations like The Moth or like Second Story in Chicago. These are in some ways similar to what the Arizona Republic does in terms of bringing people to share their stories face-to-face with each other. So that's raised the profile nationally of storytelling as well.
As digitally connected as we are, and there's so many different modes of storytelling. I think of film and even just YouTube in general. How is the oral tradition affected? In your opinion, has that human need to share experience through story changed?
I don't believe it has changed. I believe it's been amplified and it's been diversified by the storytelling that goes on in other media. And there are storytellers, I'm not one of them, who believe that our reliance on our digital media and all the ways that we now tell stories has been a disadvantage or has somehow diminished oral storytelling. I don't believe that. I believe quite the opposite. I believe that all the ways that we now tell stories that don't involve two people or more in a room telling a story to each other face to face has actually created a greater need for that. So we spend so much time communicating with each other through our devices or watching things on YouTube or going to the movies or on Netflix or however it is that we like to get our stories, because we all like to get our stories. I've spent many, many hours, for example, recently watching Downton Abbey in some sort of obsessive way. But I believe that that actually creates a need for us to actually get together and share our stories in person. So I don't believe that our need as humans to do that will ever, ever go away. And as these other formats and other ways of telling stories seem to rise, I believe the need for oral storytelling face-to-face will also rise.
Out of all these new ways to tell stories, what makes you most excited?
That's a good question. I'll tell you, one of the things that I think is really, really interesting is the new emphasis on storytelling in business. Storytelling is the buzzword now in advertising, marketing, leadership training, all across the board. In business applications, storytelling is the buzzword. And it's because of that human connection. Marketers and entrepreneurs have understood that if you really want people to understand what you're doing, you have to engage them in a narrative about the product and how the product will be useful to them in their lives. In other words, how this product will help you live your life and tell your story better. And it's everywhere. All you have to do is Google business and storytelling and you'll get, boom, you get hundreds of links popping up. It's really fascinating.
Have you stepped in as a consultant?
Of course I have.
Well, I'm sure you might not be able to tell the company, but can you give me a sample of what happened?
Well, you know, honestly, we have an entrepreneurship program at South Mountain Community College. And we received a grant last fall from the Coleman Foundation that allowed us to give tiny startup grants to student entrepreneurs. And as part of the grant, they took a class in storytelling and business setting so that they could pitch their idea better. And it was really successful and really, really fun to work with these young entrepreneurs to help them tell the story of their product and how they hope to make the world a better place. And of course, to make their own lives better too by giving themselves a living.
That's fascinating. I could ask you 10 more questions about that, but then I'd be ignoring the conference that's happening at the end of July. Can you tell me some highlights?
Well, first of all, this is the gathering of the storytelling tribe. So you're going to have some of the most fascinating, most entertaining, most passionate people on the planet descending on Mesa, Arizona in about a week and a half. These are people who love story, and they love to find those stories that illuminate the human condition and help us understand how to face the problems that we as humans are always managing, all the troubles that we manage to find ourselves getting into. How do we talk about those troubles in a way that allows us to relate to one another more positively? These are people who are interested in the environment, in racism, in injustice, in entertainment, all of these things. And they're going to be in Mesa, Arizona. They're going to be probably the combined repertoire of these 300, 400 storytellers is probably tens of thousands of stories. So if you can imagine what it would be like to just drop in there and get the advantage of all of these storytellers, it's going to be really, really glorious. So just to be around all those people is probably going to be one of the major highlights of the experience.
Can you tell me about the panel, the Kindling Connections Through Story panel?
The National Storytelling Network wrote a grant to the Arizona Humanities Council, and they received it to fund this opening panel, which is called Kindling Community Connections Through Story. I'm really excited about this panel because it's our opening panel. It's going to set the tone for the entire conference, and it is completely free and open to the public. Anyone can come to this panel. It's at 7:30 on Thursday evening, July 24th. You can go to www.storynet.org to get all the details on this panel and anything else, really, you want to know about the conference. But I think the thing about this panel that makes it most special, of course, are the people who are going to be presenting. We have a local storyteller, Doug Bland, who is the pastor of Community Christian Church in Tempe. His congregation has twice received the Martin Luther King Diversity Award from the Tempe Human Relations Committee. And Doug hosts a series of storytelling events at his church every year that have become just gems in our community. Doug is committed to the environment, to human rights, and he uses story in all of those ways. The second panelist is Queen Noor, her also known as Karen Abdul-Malik, who's an internationally renowned storyteller and teaching artist out of the East Coast. Her interest is in teens at risk and women's shelters. She's interested in sustaining culture and traditions through storytelling. She's a fabulous storyteller and a wonderful, wonderful speaker. And then finally, we're fortunate to be joined by the new executive director of the International Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee. They're the organization that puts on the National Storytelling Conference. His name is Kiran Singh Sirah, and he is interested in peace and justice and how stories can help us address those really challenging issues, not only in our nation, but around the globe. So I think it's going to be an excellent panel. There will be opportunities for people to interact with the panelists and to ask questions throughout and at the end of the panel.
And just to be clear, this is not just for storytellers. It's for the broader public interested in story and communication.
Absolutely. I would say that about the whole conference. Of course, it's a conference for storytellers, but the range of workshops that are being presented is so broad and diverse. I really encourage people to go to the website, storynet.org, and click on the conference link and just check out the schedule. I think they'll be really excited to see the kinds of topics that are being discussed. And of course, we have a couple dozen Arizona storytellers that are going to be featured in the showcases and in the panels and in the workshops throughout the week. So we're really proud of that, too.
And there will be several concerts as
there
well.
There will be story swaps and fringe performances and showcases and pre-conferences. Actually, the pre-conferences begin on Wednesday, July 23rd. One of those pre-conference events that I'm really proud of is the Healing Story Alliance. They asked us at the Storytelling Institute to organize that for them. And so we have three Arizona storytellers who are going to be appearing on that panel. And the focus of the panel is the healing power of traditional story within modern contexts. And so we have Marilyn Ailina Torres Sierra, who is a labor and delivery nurse, who's going to be talking about how she helps women restory their birth process to have a better outcome using traditional stories. Kyle Mitchell is a Navajo storyteller who is going to talk about how traditional Navajo myth has helped him and potentially could help others in healing from PTSD. He's an Iraq and Afghanistan veteran. And then finally on this panel, we have my colleague Marilyn Omifunke Torres, who will be talking about traditional storytelling and healing within the Yoruba Ifa culture, of which she is a priestess. And I think it's just going to be a fascinating panel. That's on Thursday morning, July 24th.
And that's pre-conference.
Correct.
And those are all folks with a local connection.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they're all from Arizona. Yeah.
Okay. I understand there will also be a few international tellers.
Yeah, we're really fortunate to have Liz Weir coming from Ireland for the conference. Liz is well known in Arizona. She comes almost once a year, and as she makes her tour through the states. Liz is very well known in Ireland and throughout our country for her work with literacy, for children's advocacy, and especially how storytelling can be used in fostering peace. Liz is from Northern Ireland, so she was intimately involved in surviving the Troubles. And she speaks about how story was valuable during the time of the Troubles, but even more importantly, how story can be used to heal the wounds of that horrible experience that the Irish people lived through in the late decades of the 20th century.
Well, I know you yourself have taught loads of storytellers over the years, and I've also heard you tell some amazing stories. But you as a listener, what do you find off-putting in a story? And conversely, what do you find compelling?
That's an excellent question, Jane, because I really believe it gets to the core of what good storytelling is. It's a truism amongst storytellers that if you have to choose between knowing your story perfectly and connecting with your audience, you have to choose connecting with your audience. Because that's what makes traditional, oral, face-to-face storytelling different from the other kinds of storytelling that we were talking about earlier. When you go to theater, by and large, the actors are interacting with each other and they're using a memorized script. But when you listen to a storyteller, he or she is telling that story to you. And if the teller doesn't make a connection with the listeners, the essential part of what it means to be a storyteller won't be established. So when a storyteller doesn't have that balance right, and it's difficult, I'm not calling anybody out. I don't get it right every time. Nobody gets it right every time. Maybe you're not feeling well. Maybe you're nervous about your story. You know, maybe you bumped your shin on the way in. I don't know. It's challenging. It's not always easy to do. But the best listening experiences for me are when the storyteller can do that. Because when the storyteller makes that deep connection with the listeners, then we all kind of fall into the story together and we create the reality of the story together and we're living it. During the time that the story is being told, we're all kind of living it together. And that's the experience I think that I'm looking for as a listener. Those are the experiences that I value the most in my career as a listener over the last 20 years.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you so much, Jane.